Greetings, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Jazz Up Your Life with Judy. This is your host, Judy Anderson. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I know we have one of your favorite guests on today, so not surprised to see so many of you here. We always have such a great time, and he offers such great packages for the Jazz Up community. Our guest today is Dr. Gene Ang, and he sees clients for energy-based healing therapies, focusing primarily on the Arcturian healing method. And he was formerly trained as a neurobiologist at Yale University, where he earned his doctorate in basic mechanisms of how the brain develops, followed by a postdoctoral fellowship on how ultrasound can affect the developing cerebral cortex. And if you're from out of the States, you may not know that Yale is a very highly respected school, and it's always impressed me of how he's taking his studies there and earning a doctorate and then has applied it to the world of spirituality. After his postdoctoral fellowship, he decided to step into the role of a facilitator of healing in order to directly interact with helping people. And his work mostly centers around the use of subtle energy to help align the subtle energy body, its channels, meridians, and energy centers to help restore balance and harmony so that healing can occur, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, and or spiritual. And today, he's going to be talking about Arcturian Three Treasures healing sessions, wealth, relationships, and purpose. And during the show, Gene will focus on how you can bring abundance and flow into all aspects of your life through energy work and connections to the Arcturians. So everyone, just send a lot of love to our wonderful guest, Dr. Gene Ang. Welcome, Gene. Welcome to Jazz Up.
Hi, Judy. It's great to be back, and it's great to be with everyone here. Really excited for the talk here.
Good, good, good. Something new. He always brings such great... I'm always excited to see what Gene is going to bring to us, because it's always really great and quite profound. And if you're on listening on the show, you can have some wonderful shifts and transformation just listening to his shows, because he makes them really valuable. So Gene, is there anything about your past that you would like, past or present, that you would like to share with everyone now?
Oh, yeah. I know we've had some previous talks, just kind of going over a little bit of my background, but I'm sure there's people here who are new, or there's some new kind of wrinkles or, avenues. I was very trained, like you said, in neuroscience or neurobiology, and that was a great opportunity to go quite deep. But, on review of that, I was talking with someone else, on their show just recently. And I just realized, how intuitive, science can be, because I was mentioning on that show that, when you up to the master's degree, which is about your first or second year into your graduate school, things are pretty still laid out. If people went to some academic program, you probably had certain requirements. And what's nice about that, although that can be a little bit like a chore, you may have to check off, all these different courses. One thing that sort of underlies that is your path. People have gone through that before, and that if you do these certain things, you get those done, you'll get your degree, so to speak, you accomplish the goal. And that's the case up to your master's degree. You may write a thesis, but it's usually a review of the literature. So you're kind of reading what people have done before. But to get awarded the PhD, you have to create something new, or discover something new is really kind of maybe the accurate term. And that's really wide open. That's why some people can take three more years or two more years if you're really quick after your master's and get their PhD. But some people could be there for 7 or 9 years, you know, like afterwards, because discovering something new, there's no well-worn path. And it reminds me a lot of, you know, this path afterwards that I took, you know, in spiritual healing or doing healing for others and many people on their spiritual path now, maybe everyone. There's no really, there's no curriculum that sort of externalized and, you know, that says you do these classes or these events and, you know, you kind of get to this point. Really things I think are guided by our soul, which usually, you know, is sort of more vast than our conscious mind. So you could call it the subconscious or superconscious. And we're usually only aware of maybe our next one or two steps. And so it's a good, you know, it can be a little bit scary, a little bit like jumping off a cliff or sort of free falling, because you don't have those sort of guide rails, you know, that you might have earlier on. You're sort of out in the deep ocean, sort of swimming and kind of just staying in the present. So I think there was a lot of similarities in that situation. You know, trying to find something, discovering something new in science, and very similar to, I think, the spiritual path, where you're not really sure of your next step. You can only just sort of trust your own divine connection and sort of the next step.
So may I ask, you know, there's usually a dissertation or something for your PhD. What did you write yours on?
Yeah, what was interesting is I was in a you know, kind of a unique opportunity in this certain lab, which was very well established. They had just purchased, you know, kind of over $1 million or so dollars, probably more. This it was called the 2-photon microscope, and science is really you know, the movement of science is a lot based on ideas, but also on whatever the current instruments or technology are out. So like before, just to give a little bit of history, maybe 100 or 150 years ago, you know, the fledgling science of, you know, brain or neuroscience, they didn't even think it was made up of cells, you know, your brain. They thought it was just one kind of entire mass or glob, so to speak. And it wasn't only until the discovery of the microscope, you know, which we kind of probably use maybe even in second grade now, and staining, you know, staining cells, that they could actually see that, you know, there were, you know, compartmentalized cells in the nervous tissue. So, you know, that was a major discovery, of course, 150 years ago. So this new microscope, 2-photon microscope, and there's probably something new now, that was about, you know, over maybe 15 years ago, allowed you to visualize living tissue under the microscope. So we are able to kind of look at living neurons in the developing brain and kind of create movies of them developing and dividing and migrating. Because the cells in your cortex, they're actually not born in a place, even when you're born as a baby, not where they're going to be located. So they kind of have to move. They have to migrate to their eventual location. So we kind of mapped out certain cells in the brain that hadn't been well characterized and how they migrated to their eventual location in the cerebral cortex.
Oh, my. Yeah, really interesting. So now you're working with the Arcturians. And why are the Arcturians, you know, you're going to be talking and focusing on wealth, relationships, and purpose. Why are the Arcturians really interested in our success? What do they tell you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of that kind of discovery with working with spiritual beings as the same thing with science. You know, it's kind of uncharted territory, unless, of course, you're following a spiritual path where maybe someone has already charted it out, and then you're kind of following that, which is, of course, very helpful, very useful. But if you're doing a little bit more like a shamanic type model, or, you've kind of ventured out on your own to make a direct connection to spiritual beings. In this case, we'll talk about the Arcturians, the spiritual beings. You know, you're it's a very creative act, just like any relationship. You know, there's no, you're not really following any schedule or pattern, which makes it beautiful, but also a little scary because you don't know really where the next move is. But, you know, with the Arcturians, I think as we bring to them, you know, questions that are relevant to us, we kind of help access maybe perhaps our own inner wisdom by that communication. They sort of reflect back to us. And some people might think we're even maybe just talking to our higher self. But, you know, these spiritual beings, if we see them as kind of separate, in a sense, a unique consciousness from us, they can kind of give us guidance based on our intent, our questions to them. And I think, you know, we're so interconnected in the universe as we're all realizing just on this physical plane and, you know, our communities or our families. And then now with maybe technology and the ability to fly and the internet, you know, now we're basically global. You know, we have friends around the world and we can, you know, talk to them by chat as easy as we can talk like right now or someone right in front of you. So we're so interconnected. And then physically, but then spiritually, we are also very interconnected if people have, you know, started to communicate with their loved ones who have passed or angelic beings or like star beings who might be, you know, aware of other areas on the universe. Like there was a lot more, let's say, UFO activity reported historically once we detonated the atomic bomb. And that seems to make sense, you know, that that kind of event would have much more repercussions outside our own local planet. So people, you know, beings, if there were any, were very, very interested or at least concerned about that kind of level of technology and use. So I guess, you know, there was a lot of reports of much more UFO sightings and activities, you know, around particular missile silos and so forth. And so I think what we need to recognize, or what maybe we already recognize, is spiritual beings are much as much connected to us as we are to them. And so when you reach a certain level of consciousness, just like maybe many people realize if their family, particularly their nuclear family or their closest relationships, if they're not doing well, you know, we're very much directly affected by that. So we're always trying to help them in a sense, not really selfishly, but in a sense, we know we're directly helping ourselves by helping the people closest to us. And I think it's very much so as we kind of expand our awareness of our interconnection. Really, there's no one we're meeting who isn't somewhat going to affect us. So we kind of start to see their welfare, you know, at some point equal or even more than our own welfare, you know, can reach that level. Maybe we call that person a saint or some kind of awakened consciousness being. So I think the Arcturians are much like that. They see our interconnection. And so by helping us, you know, they're helping the whole, they're helping themselves too.
That's interesting. Helping themselves too. Yeah, that is. So success. Within a spiritual framework, how would you define success?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, there was sometimes a dichotomy between, you know, the spiritual world and the physical world, you know, and now in this modern times, you know, we're sort of revamping that awareness. Many people, if we believe in reincarnation, who are coming back have probably done the spiritual path in other lives in a very deep way. You know, so we're not coming to this life like new in terms of struggling or working with this dichotomy, you know, like how do we live in the world, also kind of respect or feel fulfilled beyond our as a physical being, you know, as a spiritual being. So I think, you know, we're coming at it at a very high level, you know, kind of version, you know, who knows, 100.0 rather than 1.0. And I think, you know, really living in this world and feeling you're accomplishing your goals, and they can be very worldly goals, you know, like maybe it's a certain amount of money or, you know, like a degree, a certain degrees. It could be, you know, establishing your healing center or healing centers, you know, in the physical world. Maybe it's, you know, being a media personality and, you know, having a lot of people you're influencing. I think that's all part of the spiritual path. And, you know, to deny that and just simply make things about consciousness only without kind of combining it with what we feel is fulfilling and creative in the physical plane may not be the, it's sort of like, again, sort of this either or rather than both and. So I think part of the spiritual path is kind of combining the two and then holding this unique balance where you're still pursuing things in the physical world, but you're not emboldened or sort of held only to the results in the physical world. So you kind of can release those results, and that's sort of holding that spiritual awareness that you're more than your results, you're more than any particular form of a goal. So it's a unique sort of almost like a Zen-like balance between the two.
Yes, yes, that's interesting. Have you found that in your work that people are more focused like that now than they were maybe 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah, you know, I think it's still the same. You know, I think when I was coming, you know, shifting out of science, just to put some dates on that, that was around 2004. You know, I started to go spiritual retreats, and then I went into full-time healing around, I would say, 2007, 2008. And, you know, I was kind of reviewing some books that were published around there, 2007, 2012. They're still great books. But, you know, the attractor factor, kind of The Secret, was coming out. I think Oprah had interviewed Eckhart Tolle. You know, all of this is almost, you know, over a decade ago, but I think it sort of helped shift you know, overall consciousness in the modern world forward into more sort of at least a consciousness approach, whether, you know, whether it was star beings or that's still a little, you know, was cutting edge. But now with things being on Gaia, for example, for these talks like your own platform, you know, I think it's more and more people in the spiritual community and therefore the greater spiritual or just greater modern consciousness is getting more aware, you know, of maybe like, let's say, angelic beings, interdimensional beings, or spiritual beings. And I think the energy world is, you know, starting to really be very well accepted at all age levels, as kind of meditation is, that's kind of a forerunner. And then like yoga, for example, was a forerunner, or at the same time as meditation. Like now, you know, you go to any major city and maybe there's 20 yoga studios, whereas let's say in 1960s, that might have not really been the case, maybe one or two here or there. So, you know, we're really shifting in terms of our overall consciousness. But, you know, when that was happening, it was a lot of the, you know, manifesting your desires, manifesting, you know, through this idea like that was popularized through The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, which I'm sure many people here, or maybe everyone remembers because it was just such a strong media sensation, and kind of put that on the map. And I think the evolution now is a little bit, maybe people had a decade of, you know, accomplishing their goals and then realizing maybe that there was something more to that. I think that's sort of the thing is like, you know, you go through a certain grade, you kind of master those things, then you see their limitation. And so even if you accomplished every single goal that, you know, you set out, you'd kind of maybe be left. It could be very depressing, actually. And some people, like Olympic gold medalists or Olympians, they've experienced this, just to name a kind of a cohort where you see that to the epitome of, you know, really controlling your environment. They kind of experience, to some extent, could be very severe depression because, you know, they're sort of have dedicated their entire life almost up to then. On some external goal, which they could have accomplished. In fact, sometimes it's the gold medal or medalist who have that kind of most intense sort of letdown. But I think they've reported all Olympians in some ways experience this. And of course, they, you know, bounce back or they rebalance themselves. But we have probably experienced that too. So I think the next evolution that we're coming to is a sense that you know, there's something greater also that can come through us. You know, once you have those skills of being able to accomplish something here in the physical plane, like starting your business or, you know, having a very enhanced relationship, that may have come from your personality's desire. Then when you kind of start to explore higher levels of consciousness and connection, you can really start to focus on that divine connection coming through, and that can inspire you sort of on what's next to be done, rather than the inspiration coming only from your localized consciousness or your personality self.
So and there are lots of energy practices that a person can do to really bring all of this into balance and into their lives now. What energy practices do you do, or do you recommend to your clients to really support people in their abundance and having flow in their life and acknowledging that they have flow and really experiencing flow?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. I think, you know, things that probably people listening or will be listening kind of perhaps already have as tools, but maybe to put them in some context. One, I think, is quieting the mind, whether you might call that meditation or contemplation. It could be, it doesn't have to be sitting, you know, cross-legged, although that is a traditional way. It could be walking in the forest or going for a walk in a very contemplative or mindful way. But the key point is period where you're attempting to let the mind, and in this case, what I'm referring to is that conscious aspect of your mind, quiet down, or at least you can observe it, even though it might be quite active, maybe active in the beginning, because that inspiration from the divine, from your higher self or the divine, is sort of always in the background, but it's quite silent, you know, in terms of its sort of mental chatter. It's sort of it's more like an inner knowing that we have. And on laid on top of that is our conscious mind, which of course is very helpful or useful in this physical world. Like, you know, it helps direct us, helps kind of point things out. But a lot of times it can be that in its extreme form, kind of that repetitiveness that, you know, when you have an obsessive compulsive aspect where that, you know, the thoughts are just going over and over, then it's sort of at an extreme, you know, it's not being used as a tool. It's sort of maybe using us as a tool at that point. So any type, you know, even 5 to 10 minutes, and some people go longer, you know, 40 minutes or so, or even multiple, you know, sessions where they're doing intense retreats where people now have been delving into that. It's sort of like a little bit getting towards that more Olympic level training, but you don't really need to do that. Maybe just some portion of your day, 5, 10 minutes, where you're quieting that kind of conscious talk, and then you can kind of get to that deeper sense of consciousness, that what you might call your higher self, your superconscious, so you can hear that inspiration, hear that divine self coming through. So that's one piece. I think a lot of people have that in place, but just to put that in the context of, you know, being in the flow. And then the second one that I think is, yeah, really helpful, particularly now that the energy model is coming into much more prominence. People are learning different energy modalities, which are great, whatever one that you are called to. You know, so you can kind of work at things before they enter the physical world. So you can work it on the energy plane. You could work it in the astral world. And then really it's about cleaning, like purifying, clearing those patterns, you know, before they manifest, before they get densified, whether it's into a denser, a subtle plane, which could be, you know, emotional, mental, or energetic, and then finally, of course, into the physical plane. So you can catch these patterns earlier on, and you can also work on patterns that you're not aware of through your conscious mind. And so that kind of keeps the pipe clear, so to speak, to your divine internet, your divine connection. So I think if you have these two tools in place, kind of this chance to settle the mind and two, to clear your subtle bodies, you know, the rest will take care of itself, because we're already divine beings. We're already connected to the, let's say, the divine or God or source or our higher self. it's more like uncovering, you know, the patterns, the energies that are on top of that.
All right. Now, how have you found that love and forgiveness relates to having flow and having abundance and success in our life? From your clients, what have you learned about that? Or from the Arcturians,
yes.
What have you learned about that?
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, it's kind of the mindfulness of how we come to meet the world, so to speak. And, you know, I'll just kind of relate, this may take a little time, but I think it's kind of an important point. I've mentioned to people I worked or I studied with Samuel Sagan and Clair Vision, which is an initiation meditation school. It's great. People can check it out. They have both sort of, you know, distance learning and in-person learning. But and a lot of the meditations that I do myself and with groups, and maybe we'll do one here, was based a lot on working with what I call the pillar of light. Anyways, they had a kind of what they call it karma yoga program where you kind of could go and work and help build, you know, like a temple or build a retreat center, of course, for free. And you're just sort of like, you know, learning and developing and giving service. And anyways, I remember kind of Samuel Sagan saying when you're building like that, like literally building, like laying bricks down and stuff, you need to have your awareness in your eye, which is the third term for like your ajna center, your, you know, in between your eyebrows or in the center of your head. So you can kind of, you know, go throughout the day. It's a very mindful way of going where you're putting some of your awareness in this center. Not, of course, deep in meditation, but just sort of that awareness. And, you know, I was thinking about that and having my own experience of why he really emphasized that. Because what happens is, I think what the building itself starts to get imbued with a certain amount of consciousness. And I think probably the ancient Egyptians or builders or, you know, esoteric masons or anyone who's done art in a very mindful way, like when you're the frequency, your state of consciousness that you bring when you're actually creating something, building something, gets imbued into the material. So if you're kind of just, like we would say, mindlessly, like say laying down cement and putting bricks down, the wall itself has a certain vibration. Whereas someone who's sort of maybe in their third eye, very mindful, and then we'll talk about love and forgiveness. You could even have the frequency of love and forgiveness. The bricks themselves, the walls, will hold that vibration. And if someone is very sensitive, or not, everyone would be affected. But if someone's very sensitive, they'll be conscious of the difference between the first wall, which is just sort of like slapped together, and even though even if it was put together nicely, but not with that same level of consciousness, versus the second wall. And I think that's what I found personally, and also, you know, like you said, with others, but just personally, is when you, let's say, like I've been mentioning, like the Ho'oponopono work, where they say, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, you know, I'm sorry. When you kind of start to remind yourself of this love or gratitude vibration in the moment, it's like the frequency shifts with the person. And a lot of people here would be very sensitive to that interaction when you're meeting someone who maybe their mantra in their mind is, you know, I love you, thank you, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me. They'll feel it right away. But even someone who you would say, or even they would say, they're not very sensitive, they feel very different around a person, even though everything physically seems the same. And so I think it's a level of consciousness that you bring. It sort of changes the physical environment. And we've done a little bit of this fun stuff with a spoon bending, where there's an actual technique where you tell the spoon, I love you, three times, and it actually makes the metal soft. So it's a little bit, I don't know, you call it proof. But, you know, I think just that kind of frequency and consciousness can change the physical world, physical vibrations. And Masaru Emoto with the water, and other people have done water-type work where they take photos of crystals, maybe is another way of getting at physical proof of that kind of experiential knowledge.
Right. And a person's home too, all of the items in a person's home also pick up your vibration, and everything picks up your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. Interesting to think of that. Yeah, really. And I'm just sitting here looking around at everything and thinking about everything picking up the vibration of love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's also like, you know, mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say some people, like exactly what you said, you know, maybe they're sensitive readers, to, you know, psychometry, where, you know, some psychics readers will ask for a piece of something that a person has worn a lot in order to do a reading for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how can we work with our guides and the Arcturians and to establish a wonderful flow in our life, Jean?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I was mentioning, the spiritual world, and back to your question about why the Arcturians want to help us, and I was saying, you know, this interconnectedness, we see it in the physical relationships, you know, people we can see physically, but there's this whole other level that's imbuing us as our consciousness opens up to it of this non-physical dimension and beings, and, you know, people call it their healing team or their team, you know, their posse, yeah, that has been guiding them, and they're very much already aware of that. But I think, you know, if that's not the case, which could be the case with someone listening or listening in the future, you know, you do have a lot of spiritual guidance. They're probably usually already helping us behind the scenes, so to speak, like not in our awareness. I remember Michael Harner saying, if you've lived to who started you know, the foundation for shamanic studies and wrote a very classic book on shamanism called The Way of the Shaman, you know, and studied shamanic cultures and himself was initiated in that and developed techniques. He was saying, if you live to adulthood, you know, you've already been helped by your, you know, helping spirits, even if you're not aware of it, just because of the challenges of modern life and so forth. The question now, I think, as we're moving into this, you know, new era, is more and more people are becoming conscious of their spiritual help. You know, that's a tall order because we went through this. I believe they called the Age of Enlightenment, and you know, in the West, which was actually an age of focusing on science and technology and the physical world and being able to manipulate the physical world. Maybe to the detriment of, you know, denying any other non-physical plane or dimension, and, you know, in the last, let's say, 200, 300 years. So we're kind of emerging out of that, again, this sort of balance between the physical and the spiritual, where you have a person who's highly, they can be highly technical. It could be an engineer, a lawyer, you know, maybe a scientist or whatever it might be. You know, accountant, but or whatever it is, you know, bricklayer. But then they're also highly intuitive, and they don't. It's not just sort of this shadow intuitive, or what I used to call this double agent life, one that I lived before. You know, yeah, where you're you know, you kind of deny to all your colleagues that you speak to the angels, just so that you can fit in. And that was a sign of the times, and we still might be in it. But now more and more people who are maybe independent creators, you know, they can just be who they are. They're very technical, but they're also very astute intuitively, and they acknowledge the spiritual world and, you know, spiritual guides. And, you know, we can talk about the different guides like you kind of asked in the question. I think the first one probably is what we usually call our holy guardian angel. Very, very good guide to connect with first, because they're most intimate with our incarnational plan. They've been with us in other lifetimes, maybe all our lifetimes, where we've needed that guidance. So they kind of see things very concretely and also globally. And then, of course, there's masters and higher beings and, you know, power animals. And I think then we're moving now to what the Arcturians might fall into, which is this one class of guides that maybe people have a certain resonance with, who can help you in, you know, kind of maybe unique settings. Like I've kind of maybe connected more with the Arcturians for healing, but not really, I don't really kind of consult, or they don't seem to be very present, or I don't even feel that need to consult about very practical things, you know, in my life. They usually just come through when I'm doing healing work.
Okay. So do you find that as a person evolves and becomes more conscious, that guardian angels might change, and that you may have started out with, you know, guardian angels when you were asleep, and then, and then as you progress, that your guardian angel changes?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, speaking of Michael Harner and his work, that's, you know, who I did a lot of training in that particular school. I remember them saying, you know, first you could have, which very much connects, you know, shamanically to your helping spirits, you could first have a group of helping spirits. You could have more than one helping spirit, or like one more than one power animal, and they might specialize in certain healing techniques or certain arenas. And that they could change over time. Like you could have, you know, after a certain amount of time, you may, another type of power animal might come in, or helping spirit that's not necessarily an animal form, more like a guide or human form or a mythological form, or no form at all. So that kind of in within that stream, that there was that kind of answer to your question. And my experience is, yes, there's kind of a couple of maybe layers or ways to look at it. But definitely, I think our guides change over time. I remember when I got this process called the reconnection done, which was a kind of a pivotal moment or experience on my healing path. It kind of really helped me get into healing work from the science kind of time or background that I was in. Kind of helped me maybe disconnect energetically from that framework and move into the healing world. I had a dream. It's like a two-session process. So you kind of do one session, like about an hour, and then the next day you do the second one, and then you're kind of done, and it just unfolds. But I remember after the first session, I had a dream where I felt like I my healing team got replaced, or not to say heal, like my team got replaced, like a new team came in. Yeah, it was very very obvious that was the message of the dream. So I think, like just like you said, like your team can change. Maybe as we change, expand, grow, you know, then we have a new set of guides for whatever service or whatever work we're about to undertake.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So, Jean, do you have some kind of process or transmission that you would like to do and share with everyone now to allow them to experience some of your work and what you do that's so wonderful? I know they can be really fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we call through the Arcturians to bring through, you know, we're having this special offer, but that's, of course, new. It's on very relevant topics, but I think one that, you know, is always helpful is this idea of wealth. And, of course, I've been really focusing in this talk and in future, like, offerings and the one that we're doing and in previous talks and offerings on this idea of multidimensional wealth. You know, like I said, it's very important, of course, to have enough money or to do what we, you know, our goals and our plans and things we want to learn and experience, because that's sort of the currency of energy really currently on the planet. You know, before maybe it could be bushels of wheat, you know, maybe we'd be praying for bushels of wheat rather than digital numbers, you know, that just show up on the computer screen. I don't know which one is more real. At least bushels of wheat were something you could hold in your hand.
Physical, digits,
yes. Digits, you know, kind of like in the ether. But still, you know, back to kind of our reality currently, you know, it's a form of energy, you know, money is. And so that's one aspect of this multidimensional wealth, which we'll kind of bring through in this transmission. But there's other forms, you know, for like health. You can't really do anything without your physical health. And then also, of course, your mental health, you know, your brain, brain health. So these are all part of your wealth. Also time, you know, like it's interesting if you listen to some of these talks on peak performance of, you know, these billionaires, and so forth. But people who kind of really have mastered the, or just have more than enough physical abundance, what's really valuable becomes the limiting factor is time for them. And that means really for all of us. So you can have this idea of time wealth, just to kind of put this multidimensional aspect. So before we start, you know, these are just examples. There's probably more to say on that spiritual wealth and karmic wealth. But people can maybe start to think of what maybe one or two things they'd really like on the wealth sort of spectrum, whatever that multidimensional aspect of wealth that's really calling to them now, you know. And before we begin that, you know, I've learned this from Master Koksui and also other speakers, you know, on this idea of abundance, is to first recall, you know, all the blessings you already currently have. You know, like I remember this phrase that I was talking about recently. Master Koksui, he started Puranic Healing. He had a great class on wealth building called Kriya Shakti. But he wrote this phrase that I kind of was pondering. He said, the ability to eat is demonstrates wealth. And I was just kind of like, it was just so, you know, kind of like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, you don't really think about that, but that's very true, particularly going back to the bushels of wheat, you know, back 300 years ago, you know, a lot of people had a hard time getting food, you know, and certain parts of the planet is still that way. Now we have, you know, supermarkets that are just kind of lined up and, you know, but we go back, you know, 2,000 years ago, if we incarnated, if we were hunting, that was like all we spent our time on and probably our worry or effort on. So, back to this idea, the reason to think of your blessings, and it could be very obvious like that you have your next meal for sure for most, probably everyone listening. But, you know, maybe you have a car to drive, you know, maybe we want a better car, but you probably have a place to live and you probably have a lot of other things that are even, you know, greater than that, is it puts you in a certain frequency again, a vibration that actually brings in more blessings, brings in more wealth. So the other opposite, this is just even a very small but very important technique, so to speak, is let's say you're thinking, you know, I need a little more money. Maybe I need to pay off some bills, and or I would just like to, like, again, expand my healing center or whatever it might be, or buy a new house, whatever. If you just start from there, you actually subconsciously feel a lack. Of course, you know, what, you know, it's very practical. You feel like, what do I not have right now in my life? And so that's actually your first intention that you're energizing. You don't realize it. You're energizing a feeling of lack, which makes it just a little bit harder, a little bit longer, usually, something the energy still has to overcome, the wealth energy, you know, is that first intention. So if you first come and kind of recall everything you already have, then you actually, if you kind of think about it, subconsciously you just have told yourself you're wealthy. And not just told yourself, you've actually proven to yourself you are. And then that energy can be multiplied much easier and much faster. Okay, so we're going to start this wealth transmission from the Arcturians, and just maybe you'll go for 3 or 5 minutes. And if you have your one or two areas that you're going to expand on, you can think of those now. Or if you're not sure, you know, the energies will go where they need to. Yeah, we're starting the Arcturian wealth transmission. There's going to be 3 phases just to kind of deepen the energies in our system. If you want, you can just see your body being filled with gold energy. If you need your visual, like liquid gold, or maybe it's gold dust or gold coins or gold bars are falling all over you. You're like flowing that gold out into your environment. Maybe you're giving a gold bar to your best friend. You have like thousands of them falling on you. or energizing your first intention, whatever that might be, in terms of your multidimensional wealth. You can just imagine you have so much abundance, you're just giving, actually giving most of it away, you're not even sure what to do with it. You're happy sharing it with your family, your friends, neighbors, environment, people you meet. You see this, all this wealth coming back to you, whatever level, whatever energy, dimension, physical, etheric, emotional, mental, causal, spiritual, divine. Feeling the flow, happy, filled with this cold light. It's moving into you, out of you, and back to you. Go. Divine circle. We're moving to a second deepening cycle. If you had your second area, goal or intention, you can be energized. We're also clearing any previous thoughts, feelings, emotions, either of self-worth or feeling you don't deserve the wealth and abundance. Those are just all dissolving without any effort. No need to focus on them. Sort of like when the ocean moves over the sand and dissolves something in the sand. Finally, we're entering the third deepening cycle, which is deepening this and also bringing it in all its manifestation, whatever level, bringing it to manifest quickly, cleanly, and in balance, in divine timing. And that completes the Arcturian Wealth Trip. When you feel comfortable, you can open your eyes and snap your fingers.
I have a smile on my face.
Me too.
It's interesting when I think of wealth, it's not so much things, but it's experiences, particularly with travel. And yeah, I love traveling. Hopping in my car with my puppy and going. I love that. much fun.
Yeah, so, I remember there was, I was just going to say, I remember there was a book, I can't recall it, but they're saying things are moving, people are moving away more from object wealth into more experience wealth, experiential things. They're more lasting, actually.
Yeah, they are. When my parents passed away, you know, part of the inheritance that I got from each of them, I took a trip, and I always said that, you know, the trip can never... It was always an international trip, and that could never be taken away from me. The rest of the money I could use on things and you know, that kind of thing. But the experience of the international trip was always mine, and I would always have it. So never left. It's always with me. So that was wonderful, Jean. Thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. Now, let's go to jazzupyourlifewithjudy.com/Jean and the number 25. And there you'll see, he always has these great programs, and they are so wonderful. Oh, there, it's like 3 days of wonderful bliss. And this, he's going to have April 15, 16, and 17 at noon Pacific time. And there, it's the Arcturian Three Treasures Healing Sessions, Wealth, Relationships, and Purpose. So it's divided into three sessions, each of 2 hours each. What would you like people to know about these, Jean?
Yeah, you know, I was recently talking with someone who'd come to a lot of the Arcturian classes, and she's a very busy practitioner herself. And she was saying, you know, these are the three areas that she's always, you know, clients are coming for. I thought kind of deeply on that, kind of checked in with the Arcturians. And I think that's very true, like I said, as we're, you know, integrating our spiritual path and our physical existence. You know, kind of a lot of our work kind of boils down, or our, what we're sort of interested in and have our desire around is these three areas. And they can be slightly tweaked, and we can also work on that during the session. But, of course, we had just done a little bit of a deeper discussion already on the wealth piece, the multidimensional wealth. So that's actually the first session. And the format is sort of to have these energies, well, a little bit of discussion around, you know, what our intentions are, what kind of these mean to us. And then that already, you know, energizes them, and sort of sharing some of these very helpful, like very easy, almost quantum techniques, you know, like first being in a state of abundance rather than lack when you're manifesting your goals, you know, things of this nature, these very helpful tools. And then the energies will be, you know, helping to energize and clear and manifest that particular intention around these topics. It can bring more than one. It could be multi intentions, or just, again, being open or quantum to what the divine brings. And these are primarily working, of course, with the each person's guides and help in the spiritual world, and then, of course, the Arcturian consciousness and energies. And, you know, like we were talking before, this particular package really hasn't ever been done before. That's what I like about the live ones. It's sort of very dynamic. So it kind of brings in kind of a fresh and new level of frequencies. And also the group field creates kind of a new energy each time. And then the second portion of each session, they're about 2 hours long, is more meditation in our pillar. And, you know, we talk about a little bit of the importance of the pillar, because it's really our spiritual connection and really our energy body, you know, our chakras, channels, really is a reflection of this capacity of, like, wealth and health and relationships. It's all reflected in the energy field. So as we kind of work directly on it in what we might call energy work or meditation, we directly, you know, change on a long-term basis, you know, these areas. The next one is on relationships, the second one. I think, you know, that's been very important for people. It's been very important for people's health. It's almost like I think it's already a medical scientific fact that very healthy relationships lead to, you know, very fulfilling life. Also biologically, there's a very kind of dynamic and also long life. That's one of the factors, is having healthy relationships. So this can be any level of relationships. Could be maybe someone has a romantic partner, maybe they're looking for their soulmate or romantic partner. Maybe it could be their family, could be their friends, could be their coworkers, and kind of are working at the energy level of relationships. Again, the energy body, you know, now that probably everyone here listening has that model in place, you can really go deeper. Like if you can see the energy or feel it, you know, with relationships, you can definitely see and feel, you know, how your kind of aura affects someone else's aura, you know, what the exchange is like. And so by having, you know, these direct work on the energy field, we can improve our relationships, even specific ones that you might bring, or just in general, by improving your own field, you become attractive, you become magnetic to your environment. You kind of shining in your environment on all those dimensions. So that's the second topic, the second session. And the third topic, it could have been health, or it could have been on manifesting. So I kind of put it down there as purpose. So it can be any of those, three. But, you know, when we feel we're sort of on point, we're really doing kind of what we came here to do. And it doesn't have to be something we even know specifically. We just feel like we're actually moving in that right direction. In fact, it's probably what we tell ourselves is our purpose is probably only a small fraction of that purpose, mm-hmm. sort of something our conscious mind can hold. You know, there's probably much more to it that maybe our superconscious or sort of this very quiet, silent mind knows. And sort of when we feel like we're on that, we really feel like we're in that flow, like you said, we're in that glow and that flow, that energy. We're kind of giving out that energy maximally to our environment. And, of course, that always returns back to us in that very positive way that was given out. And, I think the thing is that we probably have experienced is when we're not in kind of on our purpose, and that's a great learning experience because we know the GPS has been sort of titrated. So we know when we're not kind of going on the right direction, and that's very helpful to know. So that when we are on the right direction, we kind of know, even if we consciously might not know sort of like how to embody that in words. So this third session is to help clear any blocks that might be particularly blinding us or keeping us from being on that purpose, on that point. It could also be about a health purpose, so that there's a health challenge involved. It could be focused on that. And then secondarily is then really energizing that or just making sure that the channels are clear to our guidance, our inner guidance from our higher soul or our holy guardian angel or our team. And then finally doing those meditations that kind of help bring that on an everyday level, that practice of building kind of the energy field that keeps us in that state.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be very wonderful. I look forward to it, really look forward to it. So, and all of this, these 3 days, he's only charging an investment of $97. So it's really a great, great thing for all of us to participate in. And we have a lot of reviews, not specifically on this particular program, but as Jean from Philadelphia says, be reconnected by Jean. It will change your life for the better. And another person says, this is the ultimate attitude adjustment. And another person says, my experiences with Dr. Aang were nothing less than miraculous. You hear a lot of this with Gene's work that, you know, I personally had big shifts when he talked about depression, anxiety, and grief. It just was, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. It, after not crying about a sister in the hospital for over 2.5 years and then her passing, he just broke. Somehow they broke through and allowed me to first cry for the first time. So that was actually during his show. And then so it was even deeper when we went through the 3 days. So if you want to have some movement and transformation in your life, I highly recommend working with Gene because it's very, very powerful, very simple and very powerful, very loving. So thank you, Gene, for putting this together for the Jazz Up community. I'm very excited about it, very appreciative that you did this. And wealth, relationships, and purpose, everyone. Yay!
Oh, yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah, it will be great. And, of course, it will be recorded. So even if you cannot make the live sessions, you can get the recordings, and they will still be very powerful. And I've done that with his sessions. I have gone back and re-listened to them, and they're always wonderful. So Gene, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So is there anything else you would like to share regarding your topic for today, Gene, before we close out?
Oh, no, it's like the time was flying. I guess that's also a great sign when you're, you know, having fun and in the energy flow. And I think, you know, we're in this kind of what I think is a spiritual renaissance on the planet. You know, there's a lot of things that you can focus on, but it's just like, when you do look at blessings, you know, spiritually, just the availability of being able to learn from so many different people's experiences, and now we're so interconnected, you know, with the internet and technology, and it's just getting better and faster. You know, we can see what our friends are doing on the other side of the planet. So I think, you know, we really have a great opportunity here to accelerate our spiritual development, you know, being on the planet.
Gene, what, may I ask, do you see for us in the near future?
Mm-hmm.
Near future, far future.
Near or far future. Yeah, I know. It's great. Yeah, I think as you know, and then maybe in the next couple months or like half a year, you know, maybe into 2025, 2026. I think people are really going to accelerate. I think more and more people are going to be open spiritually. You know, like I said, you know, the yoga studio example, yoga is sort of, you know, physical yoga, sort of like almost accepted. You know, you can talk to anyone about yoga. Maybe they don't practice it, but a lot of people are practicing and very, very expert at it. And energy work is getting there too. At all ages, you know, with TikTok and so forth, and people sending out memes on energy and intuition and so forth. So every age group is doing that. So like in the next year or two, I think more and more people, you know, particularly if you're an energy worker, you're going to find more clients because it's more mainstream. I think that's going to be a big shift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen it just over the 11, 12 years I've been doing this, that really, a lot of people are waking up, and it's really wonderful, really, really wonderful. So it's very exciting. I think we have the world may be detoxing at the moment, but after the detox, there's a lot of clarity, a lot of brightness, a lot of goodness. So that's what I'm expecting. So, Gene, thank you again. Thank you very, very much for coming on the show. Just always love to have you. You've always got an open invitation to return. So, and everyone, Gene, yeah, love you and are so grateful for you and your work. So, and thank the Arcturians and all of your team that, or your posse, mm-hmm. or whatever you call them.
Posse.
Thank them for their input. Thank them
My
for
crew.
Your crew. You got the crew. Okay. Thank all of your crew and for us. And hey, crew, shout out to you too. We love you and appreciate you. And and everyone, thank you for being here today. We love you. We appreciate you so much. And remember to spread that love, because that's who you really are. You are love, and I love you.
Thanks, Judy. Take care, Ron.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you. Love you.
Bye.